Tesla has formed a special committee to evaluate proposals to take the company private. This comes 1 week after CEO Elon Musk said he was considering it. The company, made up of three independent directors, says it has not received any formal proposal yet from Musk, who on August 7th tweeted that he had funding secured to buy Tesla shares at $420 per share. A blog post by Musk on Monday cast doubt on whether that funding had actually been secured or not. Tesla is one of the stocks this morning we want to focus on with our stock picker, buy or sell. Michael Grayson is with us this morning again, analyst at Vivaldi Capital Management here in Chicago. Michael, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Good morning. Great to be here, Steve.
I started out with this Tesla thing because I think that's on a lot of people's minds. Yesterday, I think I read that the board of directors over there has even told Elon Musk to stop tweeting. Is this a buy or sell area for Tesla?
Yeah, I think at this point it's very premature to make that type of decision. Just based on Musk's tweet last Tuesday and considering taking shares private, it's just difficult to determine what the real movement of the stock price is going to be from here. From a trade perspective, one thing I would note is that as an investor, you could consider purchasing the convertible bonds of Tesla. So those are hybrid security of the debt and equity. So the company has about $900 million of issuance at a $360 per share conversion price. So this is not a position that myself or my firm of Vivaldi has taken, nor would we, just for in terms of concentration and business risk. But again, if you're of the thesis that Musk is not really willing to raise more money through an equity raise, the converts could be an interesting way to play this potential private event.
You know, when all this started unfolding, shares of Tesla were up about 11% in a day. The company, I think, raised about $6 billion on that day. Why is it such a big deal that we're still talking about what he did and how all this unfolded?
Yeah, I mean, any time, and I think you're dealing with an entrepreneur like Elon Musk, either you're certainly going to have to deal with the friction of Twitter and him using his public platform to voice his opinion. But it really is an interesting scenario here, where if you think about, you know, Musk owns 20% of Tesla, insiders own another 5%, and then the more controversial tweet that he put out was that he secured funding through a Saudi fund, which also owns 5% of the public float. So, but bottom line is really, if this does happen, there's really a lot of obstacles to this deal. So, to your point earlier, a final proposal still needs to be presented. The Tesla board needs to review. Legal counsel gets involved. There are regulatory approvals, a shareholder meeting. An SPV needs to be set up to house these private shares. So there's a lot to consider here. So that's why everyone's kind of digesting it.
Yeah. Michael, you mentioned that this is kind of goes with the territory of with entrepreneurs. Does this at all make us sort of skittish when we look at those other folks?
Potentially it can. I mean, I think you certainly have to know any time CEOs are using Twitter as a sword against short sellers. Tesla is the most highly shorted stock right now in the market. There's about 34 billion of short dollars against Tesla. So, you know, it's really been an unsuccessful tactic. If you look through time, I think you can even use the Salesforce CEO, who's the only CEO that's more active on Twitter than Musk is. So it's definitely something to pay attention to when you're thinking about investing in these types of companies.
Well, we've been focusing a lot on Tesla. The other big story is Turkey. What is Turkey doing to emerging markets, and should that change any of our positions?
Yeah, it's absolutely sent some shockwaves through global equity markets. So in the last couple of days, the Turkish lira had dropped more than 25% against the U.S. dollar. Yesterday, things did seem to be easing a bit. The lira did add about 8% versus the greenback yesterday, which helped the S&P 500 snap a four-day losing streak, which was a positive for investors. But there's certainly already concern about the financial health of lenders with heavy exposure to these types of struggling economies and their own currencies. So this is a perfect example of what can happen in these types of markets.
I think people looking at this from the outside just sort of from a headline perspective, might think this all has to do with the spat the U.S. is having with Turkey over this pastor, I believe. But it's deeper than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, so there again, like as I mentioned, there's a lot of desperation for them to stabilize their currency, and the short-term impact to these types of emerging markets can definitely be pretty significant when there's strength in the U.S. dollar. But this drop was things that can trigger it can be things as you mentioned, just failing to reach an agreement and in terms of releasing of a pastor like Brunson. So it's definitely very interesting to see.
Michael, let's focus on content. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about Netflix and HBO and Time Warner. Who is the king of content, and how should that impact whether we buy or sell?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing that we've seen. You know, everyone's focused on viewership and the fact that Netflix has 110 million viewers today. And there's no doubt that Netflix is certainly reshaping the entertainment industry, right? So their streaming service, and of course, they have a strong business model. And the fact if they can push up costs and drive out competitors, that certainly can be tough to compete with. But one thing this week and actually today that might be interesting to take a look at is AT&T just made a massive investment, both in terms of time and money, in acquiring Time Warner. So this is not only because they wanted to get more involved in the content arena and compete with Netflix, but also because they wanted to be in the theater arena. So if you haven't heard of a movie that's debuting today, it's called Crazy Rich Asians. You definitely will hear about it. It was a wildly successful book, and AT&T and Time Warner really think this is going to blow up. Primarily, if you're looking at comps for like this movie, this would be primarily they're looking to target Asian American community, just like Black Panther did with the African American ensemble. But it's really not just that demographic. It's really the way they're thinking about getting into the theater game is because audiences flock to theaters, people talk about it, they hear it, tell their friends, the cycle repeats itself. This can certainly be a big revenue source for them.
Yeah, and when you look at the numbers, if they're able to do that, Netflix really can't hold a candle to those numbers, can they?
No, absolutely not. And here's the hidden beauty behind the whole thing, right? So AT&T and Time Warner can really utilize this to the tune of tens of millions of dollars in revenue at the box office. But the worst case scenario is if it doesn't happen, it's really a drop in the bucket for them in the grand scheme of things.
So what should we do here if we have some of these in our holdings? Should we just keep them close, or is there some movement around of these stocks?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about AT&T. It's trading relatively cheap. I think most people are trying to still figure out what the corporate tax impact is going to be on telecom companies, which should be a positive, trying to determine if that's already priced in. AT&T does pay a nice dividend as well, so it could be an interesting stock here.
All right, Michael, good to talk with you again. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Really appreciate it, Steve.
All right, Michael Grayson, an analyst over at Vivaldi Capital Management here in Chicago. You can find them online at vivaldicap.com.